During the Drashot Aran, we're up to page Kuf Nun Aleph in the Mishor edition, page Kuf Tet Zayin in the Shalem edition, page Reish Samech Ches in the Mosad Erev Kook edition. Ve'hata'ana ha-shlishit. And the third claim you could have against me, when I say that there are greater wages, there's greater reward for rabbinic institutions, you could say, she'ilu haya megi al Hashem yitbarach to'elet kasher yaseh adam min ha-mitzvot, if God sees a benefit, whatever it is, from a person performing mitzvos, then, and this is an argument that Zion pushed last week, that what difference does it make if you're commanded to do it or not? If God wants it, you did it. If the idea is that God wants Kiddush to be said, so you made Kiddush. Does it matter if you're a man and you're commanded to? A woman is also commanded to make Kiddush. Okay, bad example. Or a non-Jew who makes Kiddush. If you have no commandment to do it, what difference does it make? You should still get reward. If God is happy with that action being done, however, whatever happiness he has when he commanded us to do the mitzvah, what difference does it make if he didn't command us and you do it? V'yotel mimenu. And beyond that, I thought you said that last week. Maybe it was Aviel. Someone argued that. Right. And then we discussed the non-Jew keeping Shabbos. And I said, what happens if you shake wool of an Esrog today? I said, you know, right. There have to be limitations. So here, the way Rishonim do, he says one sentence, which can be a whole book of philosophy. He says, Hashem doesn't benefit anything from our mitzvos. Hashem isn't hurt when we sin. So then the whole Torah on some very high philosophical level is for our own benefit. So this concept really deserves a broad discussion. People sometimes misapply this concept. Just like the idea that the Talmud says, why didn't God reveal to us the reasoning behind mitzvos? Because if we'd know the reasoning behind mitzvos, we wouldn't do them. We'd say, I could do that one better. You know, if you tell a kid, don't stick a fork into the socket, it could kill you. So the kid will say, oh, if that's all you're worried about, I'm still going to experiment, I'll figure out a way. Don't worry, I'll pull my hand back quickly enough. You're laughing, I speak it from experience. There are certain things you try to explain to a kid, he's not going to understand. Right, Shlomo Amelech is the example the Gemara gives, right? So over here, well, God said on three mitzvos, he gave the reason behind them. He said, he shouldn't have too many wives, the king shouldn't have too many wives, because they will cause his heart to veer from Hashem. He shouldn't amass too much money, his heart shouldn't be proud. He shouldn't have too many horses, he might bring the people back to Egypt. Shlomo said, I'll have wives and they won't cause my heart to go astray. They did. I'll have horses. I won't end up sending people back to Egypt. He did. So the Talmud says, it says he did. He sent people back to Egypt, and sure, he has a steady supply of horses. So the Talmud says, if the wisest of men had three simple mitzvot, and once he thought he understood the reasoning behind it, he said, I could do it and I won't fall. I'll accomplish the reasoning without the mitzvah. So think what we would do if we'd know the reason behind the mitzvahs. So over here, that's one of the dangers with this line, that if you say the whole Torah is for my merit, then a person can often say, I'll forgo it, God. No problem. You did it for me. Oh, you didn't have to, right? What? I don't know. And you look there?
Don't know. The rabbi.
Ma?
I was going to ask the rabbi a question.
I can understand it. I could listen in a better way. You could say that on the individual level, that if you think, okay, you know, the mitzvot is just for us, then it might not be enough of a motivation. It'll give you room to be, you know, to lax, be relaxed and negligent. Just for me, I could live with, you know, like, what's one time? But I think if you understand that it's not, even if Hashem gets no benefit, these are terms that I don't know, that I have absolutely no conception of, or very little, to say the least. And but if you understand that the benefit is not just for us on the individual level, but on the collective level, you know, the way I conduct myself has a direct or indirect effect on everyone in this room, and then everyone of Klal Yisrael in general. So therefore, we all have a mutual responsibility for one another, and okay, then that could be a better motivation for doing the things properly.
I'm just whatever answer you want to give me, I'm saying it's a very dangerous concept. Meaning, if you're going to take the concept in its literal sense, so then it's very dangerous. Yeah?
Could you say something like, you know, since Hashem is the manufacturer of us, like your example last night with the girl who didn't know what was good for her and had to be force-fed to save her life, Hashem gives us these mitzvahs that on a certain level, a spiritual level, are good for us. And that's, if you want to think, you know, his pleasure is in doing both of us. I mean, because he has no needs, but that seems to make sense. Oh, we got to save some pal there. Okay, does that make sense at all? In other words, we don't know, but suffice to say, what's that Freud line? We're all geniuses when it comes to rationalization. When we think that we don't have to do it, it's okay. It's a big problem.
Right. וכיוון שכן, גדול המצווה ועושה שזה רצה השם יתברך לזכותו וזה לא זיכהו. So with that line of reasoning, just one second. So again, if the idea is that the whole idea of the mitzvos is that on some level we are going to benefit from the mitzvos, so then gadolam tuvevos, one who's commanded is on a higher level, because you see Hashem wanted to give him that merit. Aval divrei sofrim kvar zikanu bem Hashem itbarach shetzivanu bem al derech haklal. Before we go to his final point here, there is another point. Really, this idea that he's saying is reflected in our tefillah. Because when we say a blessing in the morning, Shelo asani isha, what are we saying? Thank God I have more mitzvot. The idea, why do I thank God that I'm not a woman? There's nothing wrong with being a woman. There's a benefit to having more mitzvot. So when we say Shelo asani isha, we're thanking Hashem for having more mitzvot, for being mitzuveh on more mitzvot. So here we see this idea that he's saying is really reflected even in our davening. So he says, now what about the rabbinic institutions? What? That's a good question. So that deserves a broad discussion. If you email me, I'll try to cover it maybe in next week's newsletter. Why we don't... why we don't do things in the positive. Okay, what was the last one?
From the Shirim, I sent like five questions.
I don't remember anymore. I'm overwhelmed. Yeah.
Can I ask a question about the legitimacy of a thought that I had regarding Shelo Asani Isha?
Let's leave it now. We're short on time. We Thursday night is Hashem. אבל דברי סופרים כבר זיכנו בהם השם יתברך שציוונו בהם על דרך הכלל. When it comes to the rabbinic institutions, there we have a general commandment to listen to the rabbi. So that, as the Ran has been saying all along, makes it, the Ran holds, a biblical commandment to do rabbinic mitzvot. And so that's considered mitzuveh ve'oseh. When I'm doing a rabbinic mitzvah, it's not as though Hashem didn't obligate me. I don't have any obligation to shake lulav and esrog 7 days. I only have a biblical obligation 1 day, and the rabbis come and tell me to do 7 days. Now what? Is that a no mitzuveh ve'oseh on the other 6 days? So says the Ran, no. Because Hashem gave them the responsibility to make rabbinic institutions, that is called mitzuveh ve'oseh. Yes?
Just a question was, like shaking after 7 days, like if God wanted us to shake him the other days, wouldn't he have commanded us? Like, I mean, there must be a reason why. I mean, maybe there is a reason, because I'll use the reason there for the institute or the other years, but it just, with something like that, that we do have a mitzvah, like you have like Hanukkah candles, where we don't have a mitzvah at all, so fine, so whatever the rabbis say, it's like the rabbis say, but now that God already told us to shake it in one day, so why do the rabbis come along and tell us to do it more than God?
So, were you here the previous weeks? So I think he addressed that. I think we addressed that. Let's finish this paragraph, and then we'll address it on two levels. The level he addressed it on, and we'll add a ma'aral. נמצא שכל הטענות בריבוי שכר שיש למצוא ועושה כולן מדברי רבותינו זל. So then the Ran, going in line with his opinion, that a rabbinic mitzvah is something that we're obligated to do by biblical force, so then that would apply to the concept of sahar, wages for a rabbinic mitzvah, where the sahar would be like a mtzuveh ve'oseh. Lefichach yigdal sechar b'divrayim divrei Torah min ha'tana she'ezkarnu. And that's why we could say what he's been saying, which is you get even greater reward for doing a rabbinic mitzvah than a biblical mitzvah. Okay, so then the question was asked, wait a second, if God gave us a mitzvah to shake Lulav and Esrog only one day outside the temple, how could we come along and say, the rabbis can tell us, we say shake Lulav and Esrog 7 days outside the temple. So, first of all, if the Torah gave the rabbis the responsibility to make rabbinic institutions, so then if God says listen to him, and then he tells me shake it, so he could tell me to shake it. Furthermore, the institution was when the temple was destroyed that we should shake 7 days in order to commemorate what was done in the temple. So it's understandable that the Torah didn't tell me to do it because the Torah wanted 7 days on the Temple Mount, 1 day outside the Temple Mount. Once the temple's destroyed, so the rabbis say we'll do something to commemorate the destruction of the temple. How do we know we should do something to commemorate the destruction of the temple? So that we derive from a verse in the prophets. The prophet says, Zion, he, Doresh Ein La. She is Zion, yeah, she, feminine. And no one looks out for her. No one's seeking her out. Mikan, from here, our sages derive, Debai Drisha. That's the idea of Drishat Zion. We should seek out Zion. And the idea of seeking out Zion is remembering and doing things to remember, hey, we don't have Zion the way we should. So part of what we do is we shake Lulav and Esrog 7 days. So, Mikan Debai Drisha. Furthermore, the Maharal writes that when the rabbis instituted things, so sometimes they show us from a verse in Asmachta. They show us, in this verse, you see an allusion to the idea. So some want to say, yeah, it's just nice. You know, you could show many ideas in the verses. And the Maharal proves in his book, Be'er Agula, he shows that it's not just an allusion. But if you really think about the verse that's quoted, you'll see that the concept that the rabbis instituted was really approved by the Torah. You have certain ideas in the Torah which the Torah approves and doesn't obligate. And those are asmachta. When we say the verse is support to this rabbinic institution, what we're saying is, here you see in the verse that God really agreed with the idea, God agreed with the concept, but he didn't obligate it. He didn't make it into a mitzvah. And here our tradition says that there are things which Hashem said, you have a responsibility as the rabbis of the generation to see if and when to implement this institution. The concept is there, but it's not obligatory. And then it's up to the rabbis to see if and when to institute it, which they did. Okay.